Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is an unexpected edition of Gaming Uncensored. And of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, man?
Not much, man. How you doing?
It's Zencaster take 45.
Yeah.
Zencaster, if you're listening out there, we love you guys. We just need a little help.
Yeah.
So we need to send you an email. We need to talk to you about the software. We love this stuff, and we want to help you make it better. Because it's awesome. It makes our lives easy.
It really does. It's pretty cool, but it's not without its bugs. To be fair, it's a beta, so it should have bugs. But we are finding them, so we will let you know about them.
Let me just say this. We will give you money if that will help. This is one of those platforms that we will give you money if that will help.
Yeah.
So... we're liking Zencaster. We hope you guys are liking it. I actually watched the last show, which I despise doing. I don't know what it is. Like, we've been doing this a long time. I have no desire to watch us.
No.
I don't find us entertaining at all.
I have gotten fairly used to at least watching myself somewhat, because I do a lot of online classes now that I record video and have to edit. And so now recording video for this and editing for this, like, it's just a necessity that I have to watch myself.
Right.
I'm just like, man, I'm a funny looking person. And I'm a funny looking person when I talk. And it's weird to watch myself talk, you know? Like, it's just like,
okay. Can I say this? I watched the last show, and the thing that I picked up out of the last show was that I really need to work on closing my mouth when I'm not speaking. I know how that happens. Like, it's just hanging there, and I'm like, bro, you need to take care of that.
Yeah.
And of course, you don't point it out. Nobody else points it out. That's awful. And I'm watching it, and I showed it to Erin, and she goes, "You're too hard on yourself." I'm like, "No, I'm not. I'm a freaking professional with a degree."
Yeah.
This is horrible.
Yeah. I hear you. Everybody gets to watch me just fidget now. You can see how much I have this little ball of putty that I'm playing with today. So when you see me rolling this around in my hand, that's my fidget toy for the day.
Here is something that is amazing to me, is that you're sans hat.
Yeah.
There's no cap. That does not happen often.
I had to go to work today, so, you know. Had to like take a shower and stuff. So,
funny thing, I got out of the shower like 20 minutes ago. I did. I got out of the shower like 20 minutes ago. And so I'm clean. I smell good and everything. This is what we do for y'all. Yeah. I'm just saying.
I appreciate that. I'm glad you smell good. Yeah. For me, 500 miles away or whatever it is.
You know, one of these days we're going to have smell vision, and that's going to be an issue.
Yeah,
so.
I'm not into that. I'm okay with
I'm
that
not either.
Level of immersion never happening. So,
I'm not really either.
All that said, we've got a good and a packed show for you today. There's lots of news that's happened in the past couple of weeks since we last did a show. So we've got Diablo news. I'm really excited to talk about that. That's where we're going to start. We got a bunch of Nintendo news because Nintendo had a Nintendo Direct that they've dropped all kinds of information in. We've got tons of Sony news, and they have a State of Play tomorrow. And so we're going to have tons of Sony news tomorrow, too, including a Twisted Metal Black TV show.
Okay. Can I say that I checked the show notes 20 minutes ago? And I had two reactions to that. One, that's the most awful idea ever, because there's no way it could possibly be good. And two, I want to see it.
Yes.
Just to see what happens, because, like, you know it's going to be a wreck. And we're going to start talking about Diablo, and then I want to talk to you about another old game, because there are some things you don't need to make a TV show. Twisted Metal Black is one of them.
I agree with that on just about every level. We're just going to go ahead and talk about this now. So skip ahead in the show notes. So Twisted Metal's story, if you're following along at home. Yes. But there's a few interesting things with this where I'm intrigued, because, like you said, of course I'm going to watch it because I got to see what they do with it.
Yeah.
The couple of really interesting things to me is that they're bringing in writers from Deadpool, which if you're pulling from any existing franchise for writers for Twisted Metal, Deadpool is about as on brand as I can imagine, right? Like, that's pretty solid. And then the one that really got me is Will Arnett is on board to play Sweet Tooth, which I think is perfect casting. I can't imagine a better Sweet Tooth than Will Arnett. Like, that just feels right. I still have no idea how you make a TV show out of a thing, right? Like, how in the world do you make a TV show out of Twisted Metal? But Will Arnett as Sweet Tooth has me intrigued.
Well, you know, when we were growing up, they made a TV show out of Mario that lasted two whole seasons.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But Mario, I get. Like, this is, like, Mario is a video game about a character that's right in the name, Mario. You just cast a plumber and, you know, like, figure out, like, some Goombas and pipes and whatever. Like, you can build a plot out of that. Like, I know Twisted Metal has, like, storylines. Like, Twisted Metal Black, there was, like, the narrative for every character in it. They were all really screwed up,
right?
But it never, like, that's not what the game is, you know. Like, it's you wreck each other's cars, and like, translating that into a TV show, even if you're just gonna, like, center on the plots of the characters, like, Sweet Tooth is interesting, I guess. Or Axel was always my favorite dude that just, like, holds out his arms and has wheels on the end, you know. Like,
yeah,
like, whatever. But I don't know, man. Show just, yeah.
Part of the problem is we're getting old.
Yes.
And the way that I know that we're getting old is that I would have said the same thing about Mortal Kombat, and now there's 18 Mortal Kombat movies.
And
they just keep making them.
That new one, like, they just released the trailer, too, since that's not even in show notes, but go find that on YouTube. Looks pretty sick.
It does.
It looks legit. Like, Mortal Kombat's as much a like, movie franchise as it is a video game franchise at this point. So who knows?
I haven't seen a single Mortal Kombat movie all the way through, right? But now this new one's out, and there's like trailers and ads and stuff all over TV, and the only thing that I saw was apparently the beginning of that fight with Sub-Zero and what's his name? Sub-Zero and Scorpion.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I'm watching it, and he literally says the words, "Get over here." And that voice was perfect. And, like, that stopped me in my tracks. He said, "Get away." And it was perfect.
Yep.
And I was like, "Well, crap. Now I need to pay attention to this."
Yep. Yep.
I mean, like, I with a 10-minute fight between Sub-Zero and Scorpion, I want to watch that.
Yeah. At least it's a movie, too. Like, if the Mortal Kombat, like, is what it very much could be. I, by the way, really enjoyed the original Mortal Kombat movie. I thought it was super fun. That came out 20 years ago or whatever it was. Like that I thought was a good time, but just cheesy and absurd, right? Just ridiculous. And the right. CG with the, what's the guy's name with the like six arms? Starts with a G. I think, I don't remember. It's been so long.
Google that.
Yeah. I'll find it here in a second. Anyway, it was just cheesy as could be, but it was also really fun. Like that's workable in a 2-hour movie, right? Like I can deal with like, okay, this is pretty dumb, but kind of fun for a movie. But like Twisted Metal is a TV show that's theoretically 10-hour-long episodes. Like at some point, when does like the like, okay, this is kind of cheesy and gimmicky get to the point of like, I'm not watching past episode 4, you know? At some point, you right. kind of get tired of that.
Well, okay, so here's another something that I've wondered about. Maybe you can tell me the answer. Because, you know, Netflix has that Voltron series, and I'm so intrigued by that because you and I, again, grew up watching Voltron.
Yep.
I've never sat down to watch it because I'm afraid, like you said, I'm going to get to episode 4 and I'm going to hate it.
Yeah.
And so I guess my question with this is, is it, it's got to be our age, because I look at Voltron and I look at some of the other stuff that's on Netflix and on Amazon. And I'm like, I can see by looking at it, I don't want to watch that. But apparently somebody watches the stuff.
Yeah.
And so it has to be us just being us. And I feel bad. Because I know what they're trying to do. I understand they're trying to make a reputable product. Otherwise, you wouldn't have those people. But at this point, like, I'm going to let you put it out, and then you can prove to me that it's good. Until you prove to me that it's good, I'm going to, like, trash it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to feel bad about it. This is one of those things that we won't talk about 5 years from now, where we talk about the fact that we had to eat crow, because there is no eating crow on this. This is one of those things that is good until you prove that it's bad until you prove otherwise.
Yes. I agree 100%. Every part of it. Goro, by the way. Goro, six-armed dude.
Mortal Kombat.
Forgot about him. Anyway. That was not where I was planning on starting the show, but that was a good conversation here at the top. Really quickly before we get into the rest of the news, because we got tons of other stuff to talk about. Let me say big thanks to the Patreon guys really quick. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, and Andrew. It is quite the list, and we appreciate that a ton. Thank you guys so much for your continued support. If you want to join us on Patreon, which includes now the benefit of getting to see our smug faces as we do this show, go by gaminguncensored.com and click that Patreon link there near the top of the page. And you too can see Jamie's beard, which is still there. You didn't shave it for the show.
I did not.
I like that. It's getting to the like frizzy part now.
Yeah, I did adjust the mustache a little bit because I had the thing where the mustache was getting out of control.
Yep.
And it gets all in your, I hate that.
Yep.
So I did have to adjust that. But yeah, it's still growing.
Yep.
And people keep asking, when are you going to shave it? And my answer is that when it's like May and it's 80 degrees, that's coming off because I'm not interested. But I've learned something about the beard. Keeps your face warm.
Yeah, it's not bad, like, in the winter.
Yeah.
Especially the weather we've had recently. Like, nice to have that little chin blanket.
Absolutely. I'm thinking that part. But the second thing it gets hot, it's over. Like, I don't want to sweat. I'm not interested in sweating. Hey, look who it is.
We got an early update today.
That's okay. How are you, dear?
You can't hear him. Let me turn him up for just a little bit. Can you say hi?
Hello, Genevieve. How are you?
Anything what? You did?
What don't you do to the dosy song?
What?
What don't you do to the dosy song?
Really? What are you going to get at the grocery store? Hi, Mom.
Hi.
And then I'm
All right.
You are adorable little girl. That's all I had to say.
And yeah. Did you have a birthday?
Yeah, I did.
How old are you now?
Three.
Whoa.
What did you get for your birthday?
A princess cake.
A princess cake?
Mm, yummy.
Yeah, we did the princess cake.
What well, Uncle Jay, that's me. Uncle Jay owes you some presents for your birthday. That's
not what all did you eat. Yes, what did you get? What was your surprise?
It was babies.
Yeah, you got some baby dolls. Did you get a Barbie doll?
Yeah, I did get a Barbie doll.
Yeah, from Chad.
Yeah, Chad's listening. Say thank you, Chad.
Chad's there, fantastic.
And did you get a whole new bedroom?
A whole new bedroom? Yeah.
You're disillusioned with that.
I love it.
All right, tell Jamie bye. I love
it.
Say see you soon.
Later, babe.
Bye. See you later.
So, okay. Sorry, show's off the rails. Now we have to discuss this.
Yes.
Chad is trying to steal my uncle gig. What the crap, man?
Yeah.
Like, seriously?
Yeah. Chad's on top of stuff, man. You got competition.
This is not cool.
I was going to bring it up. Genevieve beat me to the punch, obviously. But I was going to say, I mean, earnestly here, we've gotten, you know, tons of stuff from you guys over the years, and we appreciate every bit of it. But there was something really cool for me personally that somebody who's listened to this show for a long time, and obviously Chad's been a big supporter, partner of the show, and we've done all kinds of stuff together over the years. But to have somebody who listens to this show send a present to my little girl for her birthday, that was the point that I was like, this is like next level awesome community. Like, you guys are just the best.
All joking aside, that's really cool. You guys make me look really bad because I haven't gotten it done yet. It will get done, but I'm doing the waiting till I see her kind of thing is what I'm doing. And so, but that being said, that's really cool. Really appreciate it, Chad.
Yes.
It is our goal in life to make sure that that little girl is spoiled rotten. And so all joking aside, I'm all in for that kind of stuff. That's very cool.
Yes.
And, we'll be looking for you guys when it's time to pay for college.
Yes, so, that's right. Yeah. Start saving a little money for that one.
Yeah, that's going to happen. Like, you open the door, here we go. Because
yes.
Tommy and I are both in the process of trying to figure that out for everybody that we love. I've got her plus two more.
You've got two that are much closer than she is to that. One's just right around the corner.
And it's crazy, this uncle thing that you invest in things that you never thought that you would. I'm doing things now for them that I'm like, wow, never thought I'd be here. So all joking aside, we got a few years, but you better believe I'm thinking about it because that little girl's going to have every opportunity that she can get if it's the last thing that either one of us does.
100% correct. Yeah. So one more time, thank you, Chad. That was super cool. Just awesome. We appreciate it a ton. I appreciate it a ton. Genevieve appreciates it a ton. Lana appreciates it a ton. We were pretty geeked out. We recorded a video and sent it to Chad. So Chad got to see her open it and everything, which was pretty fun. So It was a good time. So
that's super cool.
All that said, because we got so much to talk about, let me just really quickly here before we get into the news. I do have to talk about a couple of games and see if
and
you've
I've
been
got
playing
a couple
anything.
As
yeah.
well. So
so let me just really briefly on a couple of things. One I'll mention is Cyberpunk, because I've still been playing Cyberpunk. It is endlessly frustrating, the bugs with it. And at the same time, it's a really fun, enjoyable game. Like I've gotten sucked into that world. I've gotten past like the little prologue portion of it now. I've met Johnny Silverhand and doing all that stuff at this point. And so like I feel like I'm in the game at this point. It still has its issues, but like it's the game I want to play. You know, like I've got other stuff sitting around. I'm like, oh, I can pick that up too. I'll talk about one of those in just a second. But like at the end of the day, when I have like an hour to play a game, Cyberpunk is what I'm reaching for right now. The world is great, even with its flaws. The story is fun so far, really interesting. I'm really excited to get deeper into it. I wish it wasn't the buggy mess that it is, because if it wasn't, it would have been, you know, kind of everything that we thought it was going to be. Like it has all of the kind of right things there to be that game that we were expecting it to be. And it just falls short of that, which is a bummer. But falling short of that like super high bar that we had, still ended up with a really good game. And once they get more patches out and more of the bugs fixed, it's going to be great. It is. It's really good already. It's going to be great. That's not what you want with the game. You don't want it to become great a year after it's released, you know, but it's worth playing. And it's worth waiting for, too. If you don't want to deal with all the bugginess right now, perfectly fine. Like, wait for a while still. We've got more show notes about how they're not working as fast on the patches as we were hoping and everything else. But it's really good. So
let me just piggyback on that and say that I can't wait to play Cyberpunk. I am going to wait because I'm not paying for that at this point. But there is something about a CG Project Red game that nobody else has, and I'm going to talk about that with the games that I've been playing in just a second. CD Projekt Red games are different than other games. They're that Rockstar level of game where you fire it up and they say or do or there's something in the game that you've never seen or heard before. Like I was playing around with something today, and I heard something, and it was like, wait, did they really just say that? and it, like, they're just, I don't want to call it next level. They're just totally unafraid.
Yeah, they're in a category all their own as far as developers go and what they're willing to do in a game. The Witcher series, obviously, is a testament to that. The Witcher 3, the most memorable quest I can think of in a video game from recent memory was in The Witcher 3 of this demon baby that sticks with me to this day. That is absolutely something that no other developer would dare do. And CD Projekt Red is like, yeah, sure. We'll do something really jacked up and weird and whatever and make it fun. And Cyberpunk has plenty of that already. And I know there's more coming. They do their own thing, but they do it really well.
Yeah. And they need to be applauded for that.
Yes.
And I'll talk about what I'm.
Go ahead. I mean, we're here now, so I know what you're about to talk about. So go for it.
Everybody's going to laugh. Because we've been...
It's the most Jamie Jordan thing.
We've been playing for GeForce now for a couple months. And I said to myself that whether or not I was able to use it, I was going to pay for it. Because it is a worthwhile platform. And they don't need my money, but I want to make sure that they have the users... that are needed to keep this thing going, because I think in a couple of years, it's not now, but in a couple of years, GeForce Now is going to change the world. And it may not be the same name, and it may be slightly different tech, But this is the beginning of something that's going to change video games and actually going to make them work in the way that we've been talking about for years and years and years. So all of that said, a couple of days ago, I go to fire up Control, and GeForce Now was just like, nope, I don't know what happened. If the rig that they were trying to put me on was just was down or was in the midst of crashing or what, but it said no. And I was like, okay, but I want to play something. And so I fired up The Witcher. And I've never played the original Witcher really, because we've talked about over and over, it's a very broken piece of software.
Buggy mess.
Which is the reason that I wanted to play it on GeForce Now. Because you got all that hardware and all the every single ounce of everything you could possibly ever need to make it the best that it could possibly be. And so I started messing around with it. And if you ever played it, you know it's mostly a point-and-click kind of a thing. You go to attack something, it's very Diablo-esque.
Yes.
And I did that for about 5 minutes, and I was like, it scratched that itch. And I'm like, ooh, I forgot how much I enjoyed this. And so I've been messing around with it for the last couple of days. I don't really think that it's going to be a situation. I don't really think it's going to be a Horizon type situation where I put 85, 90 hours in it, but I think it's one of those that is there, and now I know it's there, and I know how enjoyable it is, even though it's 10 plus years old.
Yeah.
But let me tell you what I did specifically, because you talked about the fact that with GeForce Now, if it's in your library, you can play it and it doesn't have to be downloaded. But in my case, I decided to compare, because Duff has been sending me notes after we started talking about GeForce Now. He paid for it and started playing Cyberpunk on GeForce Now. And the first note that he sent was, dude, this sucks compared to my local rig.
Right.
Like, and I'm like, yeah, it sucks.
Obviously.
Compared to your local rig, because not all of us are totally loaded. like he's playing. Have I told you about his latest thing? Have I told you what? Okay, we got to tell this dumb story. I'm totally going to sound out. And Don, if you're listening, I'm sorry. But, you know, he's been complaining to us about 4K monitors and this and that. And I'm like, dude, I'm not going to play games in my space on a 65-inch TV with a mouse and keyboard. I'm just not, which is what he's doing.
Sure.
And so I'm trying to find a monitor or something that I can replace what I've got, because we talked about last week, it's time, right? It's time to upgrade the screens. And so I start looking, and he starts looking with me and sees what's out there. And before I know it, he's bought a brand new 65-inch TV that does G-Sync, right? Like, he spent $2,000 on a TV because it does G-Sync.
Amazing.
Right? So now he's, like, sending me texts gloating about the hardware that he's got and how awesome it is. And that was the first thing that he sent me last week. Was like, GeForce Now sucks compared to my local sister. I'm like, well, duh.
Right.
And so I wanted to see how right he was, right?
Uh-huh.
And if you remember the original Witcher, it's not a big game.
No.
Like, if you want to spend, you know, 20 hours or something, you can get through the original Witcher. It's small. It's all of like 10 gigs.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I'm going to download this and just see how the tech works. And I downloaded it, and he's right. It's much better looking all the way around on a local system. But for what GeForce Now does, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Of course, if you've got the money to put into a big rig that has, you know, a 3080 or whatever, do right. that. That's going to be a better solution. In the meantime, $25 for 6 months worth of streamed ray tracing. That's okay yeah. with me. And yeah. I've played Cyberpunk exclusively on it. Like I said, I fired it up locally on my rig for 10 minutes to compare it because I wanted to see the same thing. And Cyberpunk is a good example of the other side of that, where I have a rig that can't run it at max specs. And it's really obvious. It looks good on my rig. It's not like it's unplayable on my rig. It looks fine. It's a good looking game, but it's next level on GeForce Now. And it would probably be a little bit easier. I'd probably be a little bit better at the shooting mechanics and that kind of stuff on a non-streamed version of it. But, like, I want the visual fidelity. I want it to look really pretty. I could get around. Right. I'm not good at shooters anyway. So putting another right. handicap in my way, like, if I were a competitive gamer that, like, needs, like, every bit of latency-free whatever, yeah, it would suck. But I don't care. I just want a pretty looking game with a fun story that I can hack things, which I really enjoy doing. Yeah. And every once in a while I get in a firefight, I'm like, screw it, pull out a shotgun and like just blast in their general direction. I don't need, you know, like heavy fidelity for that. Right. It works out. So yeah, it is for what it is. It's really great. Don't expect it to be something it's not, but for what it is. Yeah,
it is. It's really great. And all just on CD Projekt real quick, the thing that's probably going to keep me interested in The Witcher is something that I'll just, you know, maybe pick up maybe 30 minutes an hour a day, is that I was in a conversation with a character, and he said two words, and I'm not going to say them here, but I've never heard these two words in a video game or in anything other than British TV ever. Right? And I'm pretty sure that you can figure out which two they are.
I got an idea.
And I was just like, floored. Right? Like, and we're talking about like a 10-year-old game.
Yeah.
I was like on the floor. On the floor.
Yeah.
Because nobody else other than Rockstar would do that.
Yeah. And they push the envelope farther than Rockstar does in a lot of things, for sure. So.
And so I'm, yeah, it's an old game. I'm having a good time. The other thing that I kind of love and hate about it is that I've spent an hour and a half with it, and I don't have a single clue what I'm doing, because they don't have any sort of like, you need to go here and do this.
Yeah.
And, like, I knew about job boards and all that because of The Witcher 3, but it doesn't say to you, okay, if you need to go pick up 10 or whatever, 10 of whatever you're trying to get, where do you get them? Like, I'm in the process where I'm in the town trying to find the reverend so I can get the ring. Everybody that's played The Witcher knows about that. I can't find the dude. And to be totally honest, as an old school gamer that we both are, I kind of dig that.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of awesome that I'm like having to dig around and say, like, actually look and like, where is this dude supposed to be? Because it's not giving me any direction at all as far as the quest go or the job goes. It just throws you in it and yep. says, figure it out. And I kind of dig that.
Yeah, for sure. I got one other game I'll mention a little bit later, because that's a great transition into Diablo 2. Which is an old school game that has a lot of that same vibe to it. And The Witcher, the original Witcher, which plays very differently than 2 and 3, being that kind of almost top-down point-and-click, very Diablo-style gameplay, is reminiscent of that. So, BlizzCon happened. Virtual BlizzCon, because everything's still virtual, you know. And probably the big thing that most people cared about was Overwatch 2 news, which I couldn't care about less if I've tried. But for us and Blizzard throwing us a bone for once, they also announced Diablo 2 Resurrected, which is their remake. And I'm going to use that term, maybe a remaster. That's I think what they call it more. So I think that's a fairer thing to say, a remaster, but a high quality remaster of Diablo 2. It's done by, is it Vicarious Visions? Whatever the studio is. The studio that did the Tony Hawk remake, which was just brilliant, just super well done. So same people working on this. Obviously, it's hard to imagine two different games than Diablo 2 and Tony Hawk. But those guys have proven that they can do a remake or a remaster at a high level. And this looks like that. It is very much Diablo 2. The gameplay is Diablo 2. The funky, like, awkward animations are Diablo 2. They have not, like, put it on the Diablo 3 engine. They have not changed the gameplay in a significant way. They have made it prettier, which it is definitely prettier. And maybe a few, like, modern ease of use things. But for the most part, it's just a prettier version of Diablo 2 that's going to have a much more robust online thing than the original Diablo 2 did. And I could not be more on board with that idea.
I'm all about it. But here's what I found amazing when I was looking at the show notes earlier. Deb, did you notice the gap between the minimum specs and the recommended specs? Those recommended specs are ridiculous.
I mean, let me just go through it really quick, because I did notice that too. It's wild how much of a gap there is between the minimum and the recommended. The minimum is an i3 3250, GTX 6600, 8 gigs of RAM, which is the highest spec out of that practically. The recommended specs are an i5 9600, a 1060, and 16 gigs of RAM. That's a big jump. Like, an i5 9600 and a 1060 is not a crazy powerful rig at this point. But what is the Cyberpunk recommended? Is it much higher than that? It's an i7, but it's not crazy different.
Well, and I understand, because it's Diablo and there's going to be mobs. The mobs in Diablo 2 are still more epic than the mobs in Diablo 3 ever were, because they're just everywhere. I understand why the RAM requirements are what they are. I get it, but it's still insane.
Yeah. Just for a comparison, I pulled it up just to see. Cyberpunk, to run at 1080, so getting into ray tracing, all that stuff's obviously a whole different thing. But to run at 1080, which I think is a fair comparison, the recommended specs for that is an i7 4790, but then a 1060 and 12 gigs of RAM. And so better processor, but less RAM and equivalent video card.
And again, I think the RAM is about the mob.
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. That's the thing that's hard for Diablo, is just the sheer number of things on the screen at a time. Just a little wild. That's the gap there. Like you said, that gap is huge. The other really important thing on that story in the show notes is that it will have mod support, which is obviously a big question. That's a huge, huge deal. And so you wouldn't expect anything different from Diablo. But Diablo 2 remastered, looking pretty, with mod support by the same guys who have proven that they can do a remake. I don't know what to not love about. Like, this is a game that I'm so worried that somehow is just going to devastate me in disappointment. Because as of this moment right now, I'm like, what's not to... It's $40. A little expensive for a remaster of a game that came out 25 years ago now, or whatever it was. I'm going to pay $40 for Diablo 2 again.
Yep.
Like, day one, no question. Okay,
so it we have to say that it comes with the Lord of Destruction content, which
yes.
I have to be honest, I have it. I have the box staring me in the face. I don't think I ever played the Lord of Destruction.
Really?
Oh, it's good. I don't think I did. So I'm excited about that. Like, I have it. I just don't think, like, I don't think we ever got there.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited about that, that they are including all of that. $40 is steep. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. $40 is steep for a remaster of a 25-year-old game. But they made me snicker because they know everybody that loves Diablo, like you and I love Diablo, will pay that. Like they didn't even debate. They're like, yeah, they'll pay $40. Just throw it out there.
No,
and they're right.
They're absolutely 100% right. It's a perfect price point. Like, you got us. If it were $60, I might have I've had an issue. But $40, which I think is what Tony Hawk was too. I think the Tony Hawk remake was and that was a true remake. That was like still true to the original. The gameplay is the same, the level design is the same, all that stuff, which looks like the Diablo 2 will be as well. But it was more upgraded, like new engine than this is. This is again really true to the original. Watching the gameplay of it, I went, that is not Diablo 3. Like, that was my worry when I first heard it is, oh, they're going to, you know, stick the World of Warcraft, the Diablo level design into the Diablo 3 engine and call it a new game. But it's not that. It is very much Diablo 2. Yeah, it's just great. So pumped about that. In more remaster news, Nintendo had a big Nintendo Direct that they have lots of news from. We'll get to a lot of it. But maybe the one that the bit of news that was most unexpected, if not the biggest out of it, was the announcement of a Zelda remaster. Specifically, Skyward Sword is coming to the Switch as Skyward Sword HD. Skyward Sword originally was a Wii release. It was a weird one because it came out like close to the end of the Wii life cycle. It was the second Zelda game that came out on the Wii. Twilight Princess was the launch Zelda game that came out on the Wii. And maybe because of that, it never really gained traction. I looked this up, and I think it's the lowest-selling console Zelda ever. I think some of the handhelds sold fewer copies, but as a console Zelda, I don't think any sold less than Skyward Sword, which I have in a closet somewhere that I played a chunk of it, but I just didn't get very far in it because it was completely dependent on Wii, you know, waggle controls of physically swinging a controller around, which I just never got into with Zelda. It just didn't feel good to me on Zelda. And for that reason, and probably for a lot of other people that were in that same boat, just never played through it. But the world I really, really liked. And so now the idea of getting to go back to that Zelda world that I haven't played all the way through without the waggle controls, you can still do that with the Switch. Of course, the Switch has motion controls as well, but you don't have to. Like, there's a lot of Zelda games I would love to see remastered. I think that was a really good one from them.
Look, I'm going to say something here, and I'm probably going to eat it at some point in the next year. But I think you and I can both agree that Nintendo doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes. You may not be a Nintendo person. They may not be your cup of tea. But if they are, Nintendo doesn't make a whole ton of mistakes when they choose to re-release something or remaster something. They make really good choices because they have the numbers and they can see what people play and what they didn't play, and they're smart enough to probably figure out why. And so that's why that choice was made, I think. And I think it's brilliant because I never played it.
Yeah.
That's coming, like, I want to see that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Of course, I want to see Breath of the Wild too. And whenever that gets here, whenever they give us more news, great. But, like, if you're going to re-release a game, by all means. Of note, both Twilight Princess and Wind Waker showed up on the Wii U, that there were remastered versions that landed on the Wii U. Neither of those right now is on the Switch. It doesn't seem like it would be that difficult to port them over from the Wii U to the Switch, because they've already done that with a ton of games, including, and this is where I'll add in the other game that I've been playing the past couple of weeks, Super Mario 3D World. I picked that up on the Switch.
Okay, so here goes the rest of the show. Because I got to tell you the story. The reason I'm excited about that is that it's supposed to be from Nana, but Uncle Jay did the work. that was a requested Christmas present from our oldest, from my oldest niece, Avery, who is 17 and still loves video games. That's what she wanted for Christmas. Well, it came out the 12th, right? And so I did the order and for Christmas, and I told Mom, like, it's not coming out till February, so just be aware of that. I got billed for it the other day, and I got a picture from Amazon that said, hey, it's on her doorstep. I know she had it. She has it. I know that she's been playing it, but she ain't said a word to me who paid for it. So I'm very interested in what you got to say about this.
That's hilarious. That's great. It's really good, which is no surprise. It's Nintendo re-releasing a game and charging $60 for it. So when we talk about Diablo 2 being $40, Nintendo just took a game off the Wii U, added some content to it, to be fair. We took a game off the Wii U.
Something about Bowser, right?
Yeah,
Bowser
there's something. It's not a whole new game, but there's a little add-on, Bowser's Fury, I think, whatever. I haven't played that part of it yet. But it's a game I never played on the Wii U because I didn't ever have a Wii U. And they've done this with multiple games. Mario Kart famously was a Wii U game, Mario Kart 8, that they released on the Switch. And it's awesome on the Switch. This is too. It's like almost the perfect concept for a Mario game, because what they've done is essentially combined what I really enjoy about the 2D platformers, what I really loved about Super Mario World, and what was so fun about the 3D Mario games. And so the overworld feels like a Mario 3 kind of overworld. It has a very level design that's similar in a lot of ways in scope and size to Super Mario World, but then it's a 3D game. It's you know, plays like, you know, Mario 64 or Mario Sunshine or even Odyssey. In some ways, Odyssey was a weird one. So is Mario Galaxy, obviously. It doesn't use the gravity stuff as much. But it has all of its own little gimmicks. Has a cat suit, which is fun, and Genevieve loves it. And so Genevieve loves to sit and watch me play it.
Yeah.
And the level design, I just can't speak enough to it. I love Mario 64. We've talked a lot about Mario 64. And those worlds are really fun because they're really big. And you can explore, I mean, relative for the 64 at the time. But they were big worlds that had a lot of, like, hidden little things to explore and that kind of stuff. But there was also, like, a point to where you were like, this is just a headache to go back and find every little secret in every one of those worlds. This has a little bit more controlled level design, where the level design feels a little bit more user-friendly. And there's still secrets that you got to find, like stars on each level and that kind of stuff. But it's nice bite-sized chunks, which is what I want and what I need from a Mario game at this point in my life. It's just, yeah, it's great. I can't say enough good things about it. Every bit for me worth $60 because it's a game I hadn't bought before. If I had bought it before, I wouldn't pay $60 for it. But right. As a Mario game that I hadn't ever played before, yeah, every bit of $60 worth.
Well, I'm glad, because I don't have anything from the person I actually bought it for. So, yeah, that's some good. I gotta tell you, since we're on this, I gotta tell you, and I actually owe Genevieve 3 presents, and I'm gonna tell you why, because I do a thing for my nieces. The last couple of years, they're getting to the age where it's they have friends and boyfriends and people around, but it's still cool to get stuff from Uncle Jay. So for the last couple of years, I've sent them Valentine's Day presents that have to do with things that they're interested in. For Avery, it's video games, and for Carter, it's basketball. And so I got Avery for Valentine's Day a teddy bear and a t-shirt, which said, "I paused my game to be here." And when I saw it, I almost bought one for you and me both. Because I'm like, yeah, we need that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I owe your daughter several presents. She's not old enough. Like, I don't know what to buy her. Like, when she gets old enough that I have some idea of what she likes to do and what, you know, what's going on up there, I'm going to go crazy. And I'm keeping track because it's something that I like to do, but she's not there yet.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
And so I have several IOUs for Genevieve.
You got to catch up with Chad now, too.
Yeah. Just keep reminding me of that.
A few other things from the Nintendo Direct. Another new Mario game announced. A new Mario Golf, of all things, which I'm a sucker for, and I'll be there for that, too. Yeah. So sign me up. It's just great. Splatoon 3, a more recent Mario title that isn't, you know, or not Mario title, Nintendo title that isn't our sweet spot, but people love Splatoon, so a new Splatoon seems like a big deal. And then several announcements of games that are coming to the Switch, including Fall Guys, which has just been a massive hit, and so that seems like a natural fit for the Switch. Apex Legends coming to the Switch, which seems a little crazy to me, but awesome.
Yeah.
And Outer Wilds, which is a super cool game. That's weird, not Outer Worlds, but Outer Wilds, right, which is a different, super confusing. It's a super cool game about, like, a weird little alien space program, and it's super cool. I played it on the PC a good little bit. It's fascinating and fun, and something that you should play because it's super cool. And now you'll get a chance to play it on the Switch. So just bringing really good games to the Switch just constantly, which is great. And after Nintendo Direct, we've talked a lot about Tony Hawk, the remake of that. That's also coming to the Switch. That was announced after Nintendo Direct, but still a big deal. And so tons and tons of good software there. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I did not see the thing because I've been apparently in a cave somewhere. Was there anything said about a new Switch?
No. No news on that yet, which you would expect. And everybody was expecting either more Zelda or more Metroid because we're in this, like, weird place where, like, Nintendo's got anniversaries for all their franchises, like all their big ones that came out around the same time. And so they just did the big thing for, like, the Mario 35th last year. Everybody was like, oh, what's the Zelda 35th thing going to be? And they didn't do anything about that other than Skyward Sword. I would imagine, I mean, it's February. We're going to get more news this year about Zelda. And I pray we get some news about Metroid at some point. But we're going to get more Zelda. And like, Nintendo, if you're on this remake kit, like, kick, let's talk some Metroid. That would be cool to do some remake stuff out of. Like, we could do that,
too. You know what's interesting to me? We spent 10, 15 minutes talking about Cyberpunk and what it's not. And the fact that even though it's really good and it might get a couple of Game of the Year nods a few different places because there's so many places now that are doing it. There's basically this gap of everybody thought that Cyberpunk was going to come out and it was going to rule everything.
And us included.
It hasn't. and I mean, that's the reason that I have time now to sit down and tinker with The Witcher, because Cyberpunk isn't what Cyberpunk was supposed to be. And so now that brings me to a question, especially in regards to Nintendo. How easy would it be for somebody like Nintendo to talk about some new Metroid or some new Zelda or surprises with something, whether it be hardware or a new game or something? Like, there's this big vacuum that people were, everybody thought 2021 was going to be all about cyberpunk. It's yep. not. And so now there's this vacuum, and all somebody has to do is jump in and say, here, and they win, and nobody has yet.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that would be an awesome place for Nintendo to be like, here.
Yeah.
And both Microsoft and Sony be like, crap, they did it again.
Yeah. But Nintendo just doesn't care about that stuff, you know? Like, Nintendo, like, they don't try to leverage position for anything. Like, they just, like, we do our own thing or whatever. I do think this is going to be a big, big year for game announcements. I think we're going to get a lot of news. I think this summer, obviously, like, the E3 period, because it's going to be an E3 couple of months again. I think that period is going to be ripe with big game. We're going to see stuff that we've heard about. I think of Beyond Good and Evil. That should pop up this summer.
Yeah.
Metroid Prime 4 should pop up this summer. Breath of the Wild 2 should pop up this summer. There's just not big releases this year. And there's a couple. But like Halo like kind of went off the edge of a cliff, you know, with that premiere last year. And so like stuff's getting pushed back still because of COVID. Like, I really think it's going to be a big year for announcements, and not a big year for releases, but a big year for announcements. So I think there will be some of that coming. I think some people will fill that vacuum eventually. But at this point, there's really not been. You're right.
I don't think that there's ever been anything other than a Grand Theft Auto that was supposed to come out and was supposed to be huge, and then it just wasn't. Like, when was the last time that a Grand Theft Auto came out and people were like, eh?
Yeah, never.
Or you know? Or, yeah, I mean, like, that's what happened to Cyberpunk.
Kind of. The thing sold a billion copies still. You know, like,
yeah.
they still did okay.
But let's be realistic for a second. Like, it sold a billion copies. But how many Game of the Years do you think it's going to get?
Oh, yeah. And it came out, you know, in December, which screws it up for that, too. You know, like, it's going to be kind of memory hold by the time we get to the end of this year. Yeah. It's a weird thing. The whole thing about it is weird. I'll mention this just because we're not going to get to it in the show notes. But there's news about the 1.2 patch that's coming for Cyberpunk. That was supposed to be the big update that was supposed to be here sometime this month. Isn't going to make it this month, in part because they got hacked and are trying to recover right. from that still. And there's news that the source code for Cyberpunk got sold. Like, somebody bought it from the hackers on this like dark web auction. And so that theoretically exists out there somewhere, that somebody else has a hold of that. Like,
you know what? It's just wild. Really funny. You know what would be really funny? It'll never happen. But the CD Projekt guys, I think they could really make it work if somebody else took that code and fixed it and then released it.
Right.
and then all that CD Projekt had to do would be put a stamp of approval on it. They've already sold a billion copies of the game that doesn't work.
Yeah.
If somebody fixed it, they could say, like, yeah, we approve. And they'd be like the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. The idea that somebody is going to fix it seems pretty far-fetched in and of itself. Like,
yeah, but
things about, yeah, but
I think it'd be hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. It would be highly entertaining. Cyberpunk's obviously trying to do this redemption story thing. We've talked about it with other games that have succeeded with that, something like Final Fantasy 14, that had this kind of launch, complete failure, actually took it off the market, which, by the way, you still can't buy Cyberpunk on PlayStation Store. So it's off the market in places. And then relaunched, and it became a huge success, Final Fantasy 14. A game that's not going to do that we just have to mention here because it had so much hype, is Anthem. Anthem had this kind of same thing at launch. It fizzled pretty quickly. People were pretty disappointed by it. They kind of took it offline for a while, said we're working on it, said they were going to make an announcement about the future of it sometime this month, and that announcement has now happened, and that announcement is, hey, we're giving up on this thing. And so there was this idea that they were going to try to do the relaunch of make it a big deal. And they just didn't do it. They're going to keep running the game as it exists for a while at least. And so, like, if you are playing Anthem, if you're one of those three people at this point, apparently, the game's going to stay the way it is. But they're not going to do the big relaunch thing with it. They're not going to put out a big updated version that's better. Yeah, it's a bummer to see a game that had that much hype fail that hard. That's, to me, significantly different than what Cyberpunk did. Cyberpunk put out a game that was a buggy mess, but it's still really good. Yeah. Anthem didn't do that. They just put out a bad game.
The thing that CD Projekt is going to get, like, for as much as we're talking about how buggy that Cyberpunk is they sold a billion copies. And they're eventually, don't know how long it's going to take, but they're eventually going to get it fixed. And they're going to sell maybe not that many more, but they're going to sell more copies after it gets fixed. And I think at the end of the day, I think they're going to be okay. Now, that's putting the ransomware thing aside. But I think at the end of the day, when it eventually does get fixed, it will be one of those things 25 years from now where we look at it, we go, that game was really, it was a really big idea, and it was good enough to captivate us when it first came out, but it really, really got good a year and a half later, 14 months later, or whatever the thing is. And I, you know, you and I played Red Dead on the PlayStation, and I'm constantly going into the Epic Store getting free games because they're still giving away free games on Thursdays.
Rage 2 and this week, by the way.
Yes, yes, and you better believe I picked it up.
Absolutely.
So I'm still in there every week, and every time they have a sale, Red Dead is on the front page. And don't hear me wrong, because Red Dead on the PlayStation is really, really good. We love Red Dead. It's awesome. But it has its issues. And I'm getting to the point with Red Dead on the PC where I'm like, okay, it's been a while. I'm getting ready to see what this looks like on some monster hardware and see how it runs, because I think there's a possibility it could be better. And I'm willing to pay $20 for that.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
So I say again, Red Dead Redemption is not the mess that Cyberpunk was.
Right. Not at any level.
No. But you understand the point that I'm making is that 2 years makes a big difference.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. No doubt about it. That's a big deal. I think you're right. I think we'll look back at Cyberpunk and go, yeah, it turned out to be a really good game. It took it a little bit to get there. But it's already a really good game. It's not even that it's not a good game now. It's just going to be a good game that's not as buggy soon. Not and perfect. Doesn't reach the depths that we thought it was going to reach, but a good game.
And real quick before we get out of here, I just have to mention, the thing that makes them different from everybody else except Rockstar and maybe Naughty Dog is that the software can be crappy because their franchises are different than any other franchise. Like, I'm fired up The Witcher and in earnest and started playing it for the first time this week. And even though it's a 10-year-old game and it's a buggy mess and it's probably going to break on me before I get through it, it's captivating.
Yes.
And that's the thing with their IPs, is that all of them are absolutely captivating.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think people are going to keep paying for that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree 100%. Really do. Really quickly, I'll mention a couple other things here. Talk about Sony, a couple more Sony things. Sony's bringing Days Gone to PC, and so we're starting to see this trend with Sony games coming to PC. which is great. There's going to be more, obviously. Horizon was a huge success, and so that's a cool thing. They're also confirmed that they're working on PlayStation 5 VR. Not going to be out this year, so we'll probably see more of it this summer, I would guess. Not a surprise there, but something that's coming. And then I just have to throw this one in here because it hits my sweet spot on so many different levels. Stardew Valley has a board game now.
Yeah!
Stardew Valley has a board game.
And boy, you got your first purchase right across from me, ladies and gentlemen. If you're out there and you're making this, you have his money. Yes. Thank you.
I am so pumped about a Stardew Valley board game. Fantastic.
The funny thing for you and I, we tell people about all of the things that we're going to do when we have the space and when we have the time to actually do this podcast thing the way that it's supposed to be done. One of them is that you're going to have to sit and watch us play board games on video.
Yes.
Because I thoroughly enjoy board games myself, but I don't have anybody to play with.
Exactly.
So like, that's going to be enough. When we get around to the Gaming Uncensored podcasting emporium where we just do all these random podcasts, yes, one of them's going to be a board game podcast because we both love board games.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah, for sure. It,
yeah, it's...
I could agree more. Really quick on releases. Big one, general release this week is Persona 5 Strikers. Mid-80s on Metacritic, and so not quite the same performance as previous Persona games, but that's a franchise that when we have all the time in the world, I got to play at some point because I just hear people rave about it. But it's also 100-hour games, and I just can't start a 100-hour game. Like, there's just no way.
Can I tell you, and just back on the Horizon story, 100 hours sneaks up on you because I'm at 85 in Horizon, and I just want to tell you a real quick story before we wrap because you're gonna laugh. The last 3 hours of my Horizon gameplay has been trying to get into this cauldron because I'm doing a mission in Horizon at the very, very tip of the map in the north, where you go in with Aaron and a bunch of other people and there are machines tied down. And Aloy says in the cutscene, I think I can have some fun with this or cause a diversion with this, and it occurred to me that they rigged that quest for you to override those machines that are chained. Well, I don't have the overrides, and so I start looking around for a cauldron so I can go get the overrides. So I find what I think is the cauldron to go get these overrides, and it's covered by like 3 enemies to even get in the door. And me being the genius that I am, I decided to go up high and take them out from up high, which worked. And it turns out the door to get in was actually up high, so it worked out. I get in, and what it is the cauldron where the Thunderjaw is created. And I don't have the appropriate gear for the Thunderjaw. Do you remember the Thunderjaw?
Yeah, for sure.
It's the big one with the 2 cannons on
it.
And the whole thing, like I took out the first cauldron I ever did. And I was like, this is no big deal. I set up traps, and I did the same thing with this guy. And he was like, nope.
Yeah.
Just walked over all my traps. And so I spent 3 hours... you know, being smart about getting into the cauldron, and then figured out that I'm underleveled and don't have the gear, and I'm like, well, crap. You guys should have told me that was a late game quest. And so I tell you all of that to tell you, that I'm 85 hours into Horizon, and on the other story about more Sony games being released, I'm not sure that Horizon is not the most polished PC title out there right now. They're still patching it, and I'm telling you, it's spectacular.
Yeah.
I really would just like for you to see it, because it's spectacular.
Yeah.
And so 100 hours will sneak up on you, because I'm there.
Fair enough.
And I'm not, where I am on the quest, the next quest mission is like level 14, and so I'm not, I'm not at the end. Like right smack in the middle, which makes me laugh about this cauldron, because this cauldron is level 20, it's a level 20 rated mission. I'm like 28, so I'm looking at it going, yeah, I can do this. I walk in there and he just runs all over me. Okay, you guys should have told me that was a level 40 quest. So, yeah.
That's right.
We will play Persona at some point.
Someday.
I'm really interested in them as well. So,
yeah, for sure.
All of that said, we got to get out of here because that little girl will be back soon.
They're picking up Chick-fil-A right now. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
I haven't had Chick-fil-A. What do you get from a Chick-fil-A?
What do I get at Chick-fil-A?
Yes.
Typically nuggets. I like nuggets a lot. That's my go-to. I've been doing a Cobb salad recently because I'm getting old and need to eat salad every once in a while.
Right.
Which is just a salad with chopped up chicken nuggets on it. And so it's actually pretty delicious. So, but somewhere in there, chicken nuggets or Cobb salad. We've got they're about to open a Chick-fil-A just like two streets down from our house. And that's the worst. We already eat at Chick-fil-A too much, and it's about a 10-minute drive to get to a Chick-fil-A right now. It's about to turn into a 3-minute drive to get to a Chick-fil-A, and so we're just basically gonna live there.
I love me a spicy chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
That's the Sexy Sidekick's go-to. That's what she gets every single time.
I love me
they're pretty good
spicy chicken. It's really good.
Yep.
And Chick-fil-A is the only restaurant on the planet that it doesn't matter what the line looks like, you're going to get through it in 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
I don't know how they do that.
They have about perfected customer service as a fast food restaurant. It's just insane. It's basically the only fast food place we eat at. We really don't eat any other fast food. We eat Chick-fil-A all the stinking time. So they're not paying us. We just like Chick-fil-A.
No, they're not. They should be.
They should.
It should be,
because we'll take your money.
Like Chick-fil-A.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
So yeah, I'm now we really need to wrap because you got that on the way. And now I'm jealous. But you guys know where all the stuff is. We got the Facebook, we got the Patreon, we got the YouTube. There's stuff on the YouTube, believe it or not, that's fairly compelling. If you haven't seen Final Fantasy VII Remake, go watch that.
Except for the end of it, because the end of it isn't bad. Stupid Sony.
Yeah, I'm still mad about
Me
that.
Me too.
But definitely come by and talk to us. The Twitter has been vastly entertaining lately, because you've been talking about Cyberpunk on the Twitter, which is how I knew how you felt before we started this. So definitely go by and check that out. We have lots of cool stuff for you, and we're trying to come up with more as we go. That's why we love Zencastr, because it makes it easier and faster to do this. I actually got a compliment. Somebody sent me a text the last time we did a show and said, "Did you guys record it?" I said, "Yeah, why?" And she goes, "Because the show is up." And that never happens.
No.
And I'm like, yeah, new tech.
It's great.
So thank you, Zencastr. We're loving this. We need to talk to you about a few bugs, but other than that, we're really happy. And we're having a good time. We hope you guys are too. For right now, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
I'm Jamie, that's Tommy. We are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.